Thank you for tuning in to Vine Life with host Janine Davis, with special guest Dr. Thelma Wells, an international speaker and president of Women of God Ministries.
Good morning and welcome to Vine Life Connection. This morning we have a very, very special guest, and we're talking, she's not in the studio, but she's in the studio by spirit. Her name is Dr. Thelma Wells. And Dr. Thelma Wells is an international speaker, professor, and television personality. She encourages people through training programs, seminars, and books, including God Is Not Through With Me Yet. Thelma is also president of Women of God Ministries. She and her husband live in Texas, and they have 14 children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. Oh, what a blessed plan. Good morning, Dr. Wells.
Morning, Janine. How are you?
Oh, it's a blessed morning to be talking to you this morning. How are you?
Oh, it is a blessed morning. It's a morning that we've never seen before, and we thank God for allowing us to see it.
Amen. Amen. Now, Dr. Wells is affectionately called Mama T, so I'm going to call you Mama T. Is that all right?
Oh, please call me Mama T. that doctor is okay. But I am your Mama T all over the world.
Oh, amen. Now, Mama T, I'm holding this book that inspired me about 3 years ago. It's called Don't Give In, God Wants You to Win. And I want to go to page 120 because there was something in this that talked about the pledge of the Holy Spirit. Can we talk about that for a minute?
Oh, yes, we can. You know, God sent us the Holy Spirit as a pledge, okay? And, of course, I want everything he has. And he has an installment on us. And if we look in 2 Corinthians 1:22 and 5:5 and Ephesians 1:14, these pledges have meaning to them. And there are three glorious things for us in the pledge of the Holy Spirit. The first thing is that it was a down payment that sealed a bargain. And that bargain was that if we confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. And at that instant, the Holy Spirit comes to reside in us, to abide in us. And then number two, it represents an obligation to pay the whole price at the proper time. And thus, it is a guarantee. The presence of the Holy Spirit within us shows an obligation by God to redeem us completely, guaranteeing our inheritance until the future brings a total redemption to those who are in Christ Jesus, to those who love God, to those who are God's possessions. And the third is that it's a foretaste. Glory to God. A foretaste of our coming life and inheritance in God's presence. I believe that when a saint dies, that saint goes from life to real life.
Ooh, thank you.
Hey, hallelujah. It goes from life to real life. This is not our real life down here. We're aliens. We're passing through. We're going to a real life. So this pledge is a part of a payment guarantee agreement that secures the full sum of what God has done for us. The Spirit sanctification on earth is a pledge of our perfect holiness to come. The Spirit's illumination is a promise of our everlasting full light. And his comforts are the fulfilled hopes of everlasting life and full joy.
Oh, praise God. The reason why I wanted to start with that is we know that God, the Holy Spirit, is the beginning and all, end of all things. He is the rock, the foundation. And at the very end, you go, are you ready to win? Amen. Because we are victorious in Christ Jesus.
Absolutely.
He paid the price at Calvary, but so many people don't want to go get their stuff.
You know what? And that's a shame that they don't want to get their stuff. Because the stuff that they don't want to go get is the real stuff of life.
Oh, amen. I mean that peace, that joy unspeakable.
Yes.
A peace that surpasses all understanding. Hallelujah. That's just really good. Now, Mama T, can you just tell us about your journey? Let's begin with some of the let's go back to 1968.
Okay.
And just kind of share with us, because you certainly inspired me. I'm back in school at 50 years old. And that certainly is out of my comfort zone. I thought I had enough education. I was living a good life. But, you know, God has a way of doing that. I've come around the mountain two or three times, and this time I'm going to do what he has asked me to do. So I want you to encourage women who feel like, oh, you know, I have, you know, grandkids, and I've been married 30 or 40 years now, and I just don't really think God has anything for me to do. You know, I really think I've done it all.
What a sad commentary.
Isn't it sad?
I am 50. I mean, I've been married 51 years.
Ooh, praise God.
Man, okay. I am 70. That's one or two. I always remember. I guess I'm 72 years old now. But I tell you what, God is not through with me yet. In fact, I wrote a book about that when I was supposed to die from cancer.
Yes, ma'am.
In the year 2005, 6, and 7. They told me I was going to be dead in 30 days, but here I am, no cancer, no problems, because God was not through with me yet. Now, God said that we can live to be 120. He has said that. I don't know too many people who do that. But at every stage of our life, God has work for us to do. I had never planned to go back to get a master's degree. I like school. And I liked the competition of school, but I didn't want to go back to school. But one day I was looking on internet for nothing about school. And a big blue and gold sign flashed in my face from Masters International School of Divinity. And at that moment I thought, oh, I need a master's. Now that was God speaking to me.
Okay.
All right. So I decided to fill out the application to go to school. I said, they're not going to let me in, no way. You know, and I don't know how long it's going to be for me to finish this. I filled that application out. They said, wait two or three days before you get a reply. In about 30 minutes, I had a reply back that I was accepted into my Master's International School of Divinity. I was in shock, okay? I called my daughter and said, I'm going to go for a master's. Now, I was 61 years old, all right? And she said, well, do it. Why are you calling me? Just do it, Mama. And I called and talked to the president of the school, and I said to him, I'm 60-some years old. I'm going back to school. What do you think about that? And he said, Sister Wells, I think that's a great thing. And I said, well, I don't have a whole lot of time to do stuff. I've written a lot of books. May I send you my books and see if I can get any credit for the books? I sent him all of my books that I had written at that time, and he called me back. This is the move of God. And he says, Sister Wells, have you ever thought about being a professor?
Praise God.
Well, I'm a teacher, and I have a teacher certificate, and, you know, my degree is in secondary education. But no, I had not. And I said, and in fact, I don't qualify because I don't have a degree. I don't have a master's degree. And he said, my wife and I took all of your material on a cruise with us. We read your material. We're going to give you credit for so much because you've written all the stuff you're going to be learning about. And he said, we will give you 18 months to finish the credits that you will need to complete if you go on and do that. But meantime, listen to this, Janine, but meantime, because you qualify, would you consider becoming a professor at my university?
Ooh, praise God.
I don't have a degree. I don't have all of that. He said, look, Sister Wells, you don't have the degree yet. You will have it. You don't have a master's yet. You will get it. But you have the master who's already qualified you.
Amen.
Glory. And that day, standing in DFW, waiting on a plane to leave, he says, I declare that you are now, if you will accept this, a professor at Masters International School of Divinity in Evansville, Indiana. And work on your credentials, but you've got God. And I became, have you ever heard of that before?
Praise God.
Full professor before even getting that degree. After I got that degree, and I got it in 9 months rather than 18 months, okay, I completed my work because I was diligent. I had cancer, and then after that I was told I wasn't going to live. The day that I was told I was not going to live was December the 16th, 2005. The day I got my doctorate was December the 16th, 2006.
Look at God.
Woo! I'm telling you. So when God tells you something, he already has the guarantee. He already has the Holy Spirit, living Holy Spirit living in you. He already says that before the world began, I knew where you were going to be. I'd already planned it for you. I'd already covered you because the blood of Jesus covers you. And I have made installments in your life. And so whatever age you are in, you need to pick up the guarantee and move on with what I told you to do. Technology is here. God has told me use the technology that I allowed people to develop.
Amen.
And use it for the glory of God, and I will do the rest. You send the message out. You don't worry about how it's going to work out. Because according to Romans 8:29.
Thank you, Jesus.
Before the world began, I had already predestined you to do what you were supposed to do. All right? And because I predestined you to do what you were supposed to do, everything that you're supposed to do is supposed to be to glorify God in your life. So I'm telling people, if it's sitting down and sending greeting cards to people who need encouragement, you've got a place in this world, whether you are 9, 19, 29, or 90. You've got a place. The telephone is an awesome, awesome instrument to use and call people and pray with them, to invite people to let you pray with them. God is everywhere. You don't have to go to the prayer meeting. The prayer meeting is in you.
Ooh, I love it. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Now, Mama T.
You can use cards. You can use meals. Bake somebody a cake if you like to cook. Bake somebody a cake that's sick in your church and call them. Or that maybe is not sick, but needs encouragement.
Amen.
Inspiration. Bake a cake and say, baby, come by here and pick this cake up. Mama can't come bring it to you, but come get it. You see, at every stage of our lives, God uses us, if we let him, for his glory.
Amen. And we can all be of service to him, no matter where we are.
A lot like I used to, not because I'm sick, but because when you get older, stuff starts happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your ears get tired. Your voice gets hoarse when you talk a lot of that. But don't ever stop doing what God told you to do. If you have time with him every morning.
And yes, ma'am.
During the day.
Mm-hmm.
He'll tell you, call Sister So-and-so. The other morning, I was before the picnic, I got a call, and my friend, when I call her friend, we've been a friend for about a year, she said, Mama T, God put you on my heart this morning. What's going on with you? Okay? We talked about what was going on with me, and she said, this is God's plan for you. And she told me some things that I already knew, but God needed to tell me through her, because I trust her. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, ma'am.
So when I tell you that God never finishes, my friend, another friend, who was had pastored a church for 49 years, he was Pastor Kirk in El Paso, Texas, died about 2 weeks ago. Before he died, he had his daughters to put the phone to his mouth. And he called me and said, Dr. Wells, I want to tell you that there's nothing that the blood of Jesus cannot do.
Woo!
He preached to me in hospice.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hospice. And that spoke to my spirit, and he's been preaching in my spirit with that ever since he died 2 weeks ago. And they said, the nurse that was with him in hospice said he shouted and danced in his bed and praised God all the way to glory.
Hallelujah.
You see, so never too late. Even on your deathbed, God will give you things to do.
Mm.
Glorify his name and leave a legacy for people to follow. Not you, but the God in you.
Amen. Amen. We are his vessels. Now, Mama T, let's talk about a moment, because I want my audience to get as much of your spirit as possible. But audience, I want you to know this is part one. She's going to come back and do part two. But I want to keep this spirit flowing. So could you like kind of tell us about your travels and your ministry in the Woman of Faith?
Yes, I can. Many, many years ago, in fact, I've been in ministry for 31 years. You see, I didn't call it ministry when I was ministering in corporate America, but it was ministry because everything I taught was from the Bible.
Amen.
Give them a scripture and a text.
Mm-hmm.
All right? But the witness was there. In 1984, I left my banking job. I was assistant vice president at the largest independent bank in Texas, and I left that job to go full-time into what I'm doing now. When I left that job, I started praying and asking God to give me a forum so I could be bold for him. I wanted holy boldness. And all along the way, he eased me into that. And what I'm saying eased me, there were things that I was assigned to do that I knew God was preparing me for that. So in 1996, God sent someone to talk to me about Women of Faith. Women of Faith is the largest women's conference movement in the world. The lady who came to me said, I read your book, Bumblebees Fly Anyway, at Barnes & Noble's the other day, and I knew that you were the person to come with us. Now, see, at the time, they were looking for a woman of color.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so I told the lady, after she told me it was a women's conference, I said, girl, I don't like women. I got out of everything women were in. I don't want that.
Mama T, I'm laughing because you sound like Janine.
I don't even like women. Okay, the only women I'm around are the women in my church, because I got out of every organization that had women in it because I didn't want to be bothered with women. She said, pray about it. I said, okay. There was a moment of silence, and I said, I prayed about it. I'm not going. No, seriously. Pray about this. And God put in my mouth these words, Janine. If every conference that you want me to go to is free on my calendar, I will know that's God telling me to go. Now, that was a real challenge for me. In fact, I was really, kind of play the devil's advocate there, because I was already traveling and speaking 300 days a year.
Woo!
All over the world. Loved what I was doing. Well, I want you to know that there were 27 dates that she called me and gave me, and every one of those dates was available on my calendar.
Praise God.
So God, I said, okay, God, I'll go. I'm kicking and screaming, but I'll go. And girl, do you know what? When I walked into Allentown, Pennsylvania conference on the 16th of August, 1996, I fell in love with the Women of Faith speakers.
Oh, praise God.
It was instant. God made that thing so instant. So I felt at home. I met Patsy Claremont, Lucy Swindoll, Marilyn Meberg, Barbara Johnson. I met those wonderful ladies who were the original speakers. And I fell in love with them. I fell in love with the conference. I really, really did. So from that day until the end of February 2009, I was with Women of Faith. I was with them for 12 years.
Oh, praise God.
And I noticed that 12 is usually the time that God revamps my life. Because I looked at my life from first grade all the way up until I left Women of Faith. And it was 12-year intervals when God changed my life. 12 is a number of power.
Yes.
Yeah. And so he changed my life. Well, but with Women of Faith, I was able to minister to over 400,000 women a year.
Oh, praise God.
I was able to hug on many, to pray for many, to have them call me or email me and tell me their problems. It was a ministry that I loved. But God called me out of that ministry for a season. In 2009, he called me out for that, and what he wanted me to do were conferences. He wanted me to start my own conferences on special dates so that I could be closer to the people. So I have one small conference. It's called Picnic at the Lake.
Mm-hmm.
I finished it last weekend, and I tell you what, the Holy Spirit moved so, and God was so much so there, until everybody says every conference is the best one.
Amen.
One, because God is there, the Holy Spirit moves, and he keeps his agreement with us.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have every Martin Luther King Jr. Day, I have the Ready to Win conference, based primarily on what the working title was for the book we're talking about.
Yes, yes.
Ready to Win.
Yes.
Ready to Win conference every Martin Luther King Jr. Day in Grapevine, Texas.
Oh, that's such a blessing. Now, Mama T, since we started talking about your book, God Wants You to Win, and you were talking about this conference that God had called you to do. Now, could you please tell us about your declaration, the dress for the fight? Because I love this. The one that begins with fix your hair.
You know, I write pretty comically, but it's all sound doctrine.
Yes.
And when I was writing this, I thought, now, what can we use as synonyms, if you will, for the arm of God? And so the first one that I said was, fix your hair. Every day we have to get up and we have a routine. We comb our hair, we prepare ourselves. Why then can we not do that with a whole arm of God?
Oh, yes.
So when I'm talking about fix your hair, I'm talking about put on the helmet of salvation.
Ooh, praise God.
Your head, which covers your thinking matter, your cerebral cortex, which covers the top of your spine, which covers you and makes you ready for any fiery darts that would come to your head. Now, in order for that hat, for that hair to fit under that helmet, you've got to let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. You can't put a whole lot of filth. You can't watch a lot of television that is not appropriate. You cannot, any television that's not appropriate. Watch who you talk to. Watch what you think. Because as a man thinketh, so is he.
That's what the word, yes, ma'am.
Says. So when you are putting on, fixing your hair, putting on the helmet of salvation, the first thing is that you got to know you're saved. All right?
Amen.
Salvation. If you don't know, you're saved. Okay? And how do you know you're saved? I said it earlier, Romans 10:9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, you got your helmet on, and this helmet is going to protect you from any fiery darts going to your eyes, your ears, your nose, and all that kind of stuff, because it covers your face.
And you know the mind. You know the mind is the enemy's playground, Mother T.
That's the first place he
attacks. Uh-huh.
That's the first place he attacks is your mind. So you got to think it before you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and he places all kind of stuff in our mind. That's one reason we can't pray a whole prayer without thinking about something else.
Mm-hmm.
Because he tries to interfere. But we have to come before God boldly and ask him to clean up our mind. And then I say, pad your heart. You see, the heart circulates the blood throughout our body. It does not build blood. The blood is made in the marrow of the bones. But the heart pumps it. If the heart is filled with hatred, bigotry, jealousy, meanness, guilt, shame. In other words, if the heart is contaminated, lack of forgiveness, hoarding things, backbiting, all of those things. So think about what's in your heart. If your heart is all messed up and it's circulating through your body, contamination, your whole body is going to be contaminated.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, when you clean out the refrigerator of your heart, God told me that one day, I'm cleaning out the refrigerator. He said, just like you clean out this refrigerator, you look in your heart and you clean it out too. And so I had to look at my heart and say, God, show me the contamination in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And if you will look in your heart, God will show you, to thine own self be true, God will show you the contamination. What are you holding against somebody in your heart?
Ooh, that's powerful.
What who are you coveting? Okay? Is there lust in your heart? Are you biased? Are you a bigot? Are you an abuser? What's going on in your life? It could be physical, it could be mental, it could be spiritual abuse. And many people are experiencing spiritual abuse because they don't understand the word of God. Okay. Anyway, back to that. The cover your heart means put on the breastplate of righteousness.
Amen.
Yeah, so that you will be able to stand in this evil day. All of this is so you can buffet the wiles of the devil so that you can send it back to him like a boomerang. And tries to do something, send it back by the power of God and the blood of Jesus. And then it says, tighten your girdle. I like this. Now, I tell people all the time, Mama T does not wear a girdle anymore. I don't wear them anymore, but I'm talking about that kind of girdle because I don't wear nothing that hurts, okay? Okay, I'm free. But when you tighten the girdle of truth, that's the word of God.
Woo, praise God.
That word of truth is the only truth that will set you free.
Amen.
Because it's the only authentic, real, untampered with truth which comes from God himself.
And that's power.
That's power. That's power in the word. And so when we take the sword of the spirit, which is the Bible.
Thank you, Jesus.
The Bible. And we study that Bible. And we claim those words, and we pray the words in the Bible, and we attach ourselves to the word. There is nothing Satan can do that can buffet you and make you leave or make you or harm you. What is that? No weapon formed against me shall prosper.
Amen.
54:17. Now, there are weapons that will be formed against you all the time. And the closer you get to God, the closer you get to doing his will, they're going to come in all different directions all the time. But we have to be shrewd enough in the spirit to discern what's going on and to know the wiles of the devil and to stay close enough to the cross, all right, to the cross of Jesus that we will understand what's going on in our lives. Sometimes we'll slip, but guess what? God will cover us because he knows our hearts.
Yes, ma'am.
Our bodies are weak. Our minds are weak, but he covers our hearts. And then I said, let your feet be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In fact, I said, put on your stomping.
I love this one.
Put on your stomping shoes, baby. All right. Now, what in the world is it talking about? First of all, it said you got to be ready to understand that there are people out there who need you and who need your story. There are some people who are afraid to tell stories about how, tell the truth, really.
Yeah, the truth.
Reform.
That's right.
About the things that have happened to them. And I have some people who criticize me. Girl, you tell all your business. Well, I tell all my business I want you to know.
Don't get it twisted, huh, Mama T?
And I tell all my business that I think will help you not have to go through what I'm doing.
Yes.
It can help you know how to fight this battle because God always wants us to win. That's what he said. Don't give in. I want you to win. So I tell my stuff. I talk about my children and some of the things that have happened. I talk about myself. I talk about my relationships. I talk about my money that I used to have. A lot of it that I don't have anymore. But guess what? I talk about it because God meets my need at every point.
Glory to God.
I don't have to have a big bank account like I used to have. I don't have to have the millions that I used to have. I don't have that now, but guess what I have? King Jesus. I have the Jehovah.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I have Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides for me. And so we need to be telling people, if we put on our stomping shoes, that means we will go and tell people about the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That means that we will always be able to walk on snakes and scorpions. This is, of course, not naturally, okay,
mm-hmm.
in the spirit, and not be bitten.
Mm-hmm.
We will be able to discern what Satan is trying to do mm-hmm. and hear what God is telling us to do because we are connected to him.
Mm-hmm.
He walks with us and talks with us and tells us we are his own.
Now, Mama T, can you quickly go to my shield? My engineer just gave me a sign that we're running out of time.
Okay, and don't forget to put on goodness gracious.
It's the shield. Grab your shield and your sword.
To put on the shield of faith, and that faith will give you the impetus to believe God for everything.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Mama T. Thelma Wells, I thank you for coming on the show. I knew that this would happen. We're running out of time. Listeners, I want you to know that she's coming back for part two. And if they want to reach you, give us your website quickly.
It's ThelmaWells.com, ThelmaWells.com.
And thank you. And until next time, stay connected to the true vine, which is Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Vine Life. For more information on today's show, you can go to www.theinterviews.com or www.ThelmaWells.com. This program brought to you by Vine Life Ministries.